Hey guys, I hope you're loving the Making Bank episodes. Please make sure you guys like and share these episodes, as well as comment below for the guests. They love to come back and interact with you. And I really appreciate you watching and listening to Making Bank, so thank you.
You are listening to Making Bank, where we uncover the mindset and success strategies of the top 1% so you can amplify your life and your business.
Welcome to Making Bank. I am Josh Felber, where we uncover the mindset and the success strategies of the top 1% so you can amplify your life and your business today. I am excited for today's guest, Mitch Miller, Garrett Gunderson,
Babak Azad,
Marshall Silver, Dennis Hughes,
Syed Bulky, Kevin Harrington, hey, to Making Bank.
Josh, good to see you, man.
Yeah.
How's it going?
It's awesome to actually have you on now, for
fantastic.
Sure, man.
It's great to be here.
So for that 1% out there that doesn't know who you are or what you do, can you give us a quick overview?
Sure, yeah. So I started 1984. I was watching TV, and all of a sudden the screens went dark and found out that the channel was Discovery, and it was only an 18-hour-a-day network. So I said, I'll fill the other 6 hours with products. So I started putting products on back in the early 80s, kitchen products, then fitness products. So Tony Little Fitness and Jack LaLanne and the Juicer, and then George Foreman and all these kind of, you know, we did the Jenners, and I did Bruce and Kris Jenner when he was Bruce before Caitlyn,
right?
And then we did the Hilton family with Kathy Hilton and then Paris Hilton, and you name it, I've done, you know, this as seen on TV infomercial kind of business.
So sure.
Hundreds of products, $5 billion in sales, give or take. So I'm kind of like a creator of this infomercial space.
Sure.
And now what's happening is there's a little bit of disruption going on there. And actually, you mentioned Shark Tank, so I got a call from Mark Burnett along the way, and I did actually 175 segments on Shark Tank.
Wow, and you were one of the first ones, right?
Yeah, I was in the first go around. There's five segments to a show, so 35 one-hour shows I shot in the beginning of Shark Tank. So
right.
And now they all run reruns on CNBC, plus they run all around the world.
Yeah.
It's running in dozens of countries. So it's been a kind of a good run from being in the infomercial space and Shark Tank, and now I have a chance to see what's going on in the market. And TV viewership is dropping, and so I said there's disruption.
Sure.
And where are they going? Well, they're going to social media, they're going to Facebook. People spend hours a day on Facebook instead of sitting in front of their TV set.
Right.
So I'm having to follow the eyeballs, and as you know, this is the future, digital.
For sure.
So that's what we're doing.
Awesome. And so, I mean, and you've got to see the whole spectrum, you know, being on TV, as well as now with the whole digital marketing and everything else. As you were growing in TV and everything else, what were some of your biggest challenges encountered along the way?
So, I mean, look, when we first started putting products up, we'd have big success, and now it's like, okay, well, success equals financial distress because you need inventory.
Right.
So I'm like, okay, I was selling, you know, Ginsu knives at one point. I'm selling Chinese woks, and I'm selling Tony Little Fitness products, and I need 200,000 of them, okay, of each one.
Sure.
So how do I get 1 million pieces of inventory that cost $10 a piece?
Right.
That's $10 million, right? Well, I had to get very creative in raising capital and going to banks and going to venture capitalists, and, you know, because when I started, I didn't have any money,
right?
So, you know, now, every one I could get, I would make a profit, so we actually started just bootstrapping out of profits. You know, we'd sell a few, take the profits, go back, buy more inventory. But eventually, one of the biggest things, I think, the breakthrough for me was learning how to raise capital.
Okay.
And talk to investors.
Sure.
So nowadays, my business model is a little different. You know, I'm still a product guy, but I'm now more of a business guy. Like, I invest in businesses and get equity, and some of these are public companies. So I take capital to put into companies, but I will then help them go raise money. Because at the end of the day, without capital, it's very tough to build any business.
For sure.
You know? And you have to, you know, there's an art to raising capital. And I one of the things I talk about is creating the perfect pitch. So there's a pitch to get on Shark Tank and, you know, get somebody to say yes to being your partner. But, you know, that's also kind of involving getting a partner, raising capital. It's the pitch to get investors. And that's a little different than a pitch to sell the product, obviously.
Right,
right?
For sure.
So I kind of, that first challenge was money related. Okay. And then the next part of it was getting the right team. Because in the 80s, there was not a sophisticated world of marketers, digital. I mean, today you got
nobody knew what digital marketing was.
So many different, you know, back then it was like, who's going to process my credit cards? Well, my local bank was my processor.
Yeah.
They had no idea what they were doing, even,
right.
You know? So today things are a lot more sophisticated. You got somebody that does everything, and it's in this digital world is just, it's amazing.
I guess give us a little bit of background. I mean, how did you get started on the whole path to copy and kind of in this whole entrepreneur venture that you're down this today?
It was kind of an accident. I mean, I almost died when I was 21. So if that didn't happen, then none of this business shit would have happened. So what happened was I was in rock bands all my teenage years. And because of that, I enjoyed the guitar more than school. So I never went to school, never went to high school, any of that. And so I never graduated high school. It was all partying, you know, drugs, rock and roll, women, multiple women, you know, multiple parties, drugs, all that stuff. Anyway, when I was 21, I had a heart attack from doing those things in excess. And it was pretty crazy. And at the time, the band was pretty successful. I mean, we were offered a record deal by Chad Kroeger, who was the singer of Nickelback, which was the largest band in the world at the time. We were on the radio already touring and stuff like that. But our singer ended up having a mental breakdown and he left the band and he was the chief songwriter. And so that plus the heart attack, it was just kind of like everything was over. And I was like, man, this. And so I was 21 when I had the heart attack. So that I was okay. Like, the heart like 100% recovered and I was out of the hospital in a couple of days. You know, young people are resilient. So it was pretty crazy. So that was like the wake up call and it actually woke me up. And what's cool is like you talk about the 1%, like the entrepreneur is a person who's like the way I almost describe it is like that person's awake. You know what I mean? So that woke me up. And before that, I wasn't even remotely awake. I was having fun, but I was, you know, the furthest thing from wanting to improve myself or anything like that. So that's when I decided I wanted to do something different. And I was awake. So I was looking for something, you know, when the student's ready, the teacher appears. So I found Tony Robbins somehow and Robert Kiyosaki and those guys were talking about like, you don't have to be the same person you are. You know, Robert Kiyosaki said, you don't want $1 million. You want to, that's not the right question. It's not how I can make $1 million. It's how can I become the type of person that's worth $1 million or worth having $1 million hit him? And I was like, oh shit. And Tony Robbins, like, you don't have to be the same person you've been. It's like, I don't care what your background is. You can be whatever you want. So I was like, whoa.
Mind blown.
mine was blown. I was like, holy shit. I don't have to be me. I can like be a better version of me. And so to make a long story short, Tony Robbins interviewed Jay Abraham on one of his interview sessions and it changed everything. I was like, marketing, business, this is so exciting. And marketing has been my passion ever since then, since 2005 or four, or whatever that was. And so I went down the path of changing myself, trying to build businesses, failed 9 times, trying to build all sorts of businesses from landscaping companies to building pallets to online companies and all this and failing and trying and, you know, walking into businesses cold, trying to sell them stuff and basically trying everything under the sun and not having it work. Not because what I was saying or what I was doing wasn't right. It was because I was still me. You know, people look at me, they just didn't want to do business with me still because I was still me. And so, yeah, over the last 10, 12 years, I've really just, my passion has been learning about like and really studying as a student obsessively marketing and advertising, and that paired with the entrepreneurialism, I think has helped me succeed. And now in a way where I understand this stuff at such a crazy deep level because of my obsession for studying it for so long.
No, that's awesome. I mean, that you became, you know, that obsession, you know, has now turned, you know, that became that passion and what, you know, where your heart and where your mind and everything is now.
And then the software.
Oh, sweet.
I am Josh Felber. You are watching Making Bank. Get out and be extraordinary.
Thank you for listening to Making Bank. If you have enjoyed this episode, please leave a review. And sharing is caring. Follow Josh Felber on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram for more. You can also listen to Making Bank on Amazon Alexa, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and watch on Apple TV, Success Thinkers Network, Amazon Fire, and YouTube.